if she comes. So yeah, go ahead. So
okay, I'm not. I'm fishing for very long time, and I'm not much experimenting in the kind like going through doors, experience moments with lots like that. What I will do is speaking in tongues so very much there is not an hour going by when I'm not speaking in tongues. And when I talk to people, my experience, my own experience is then, oh, they don't talk a lot like I do. I really talk a lot in the spirit. And so my question is that special? Is that normal? I've also met people who are spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-filled, and not talking in special languages. As for me, it's almost a second natural thing that I do.
Yeah,
sure. When I'm talking to the Lord, okay, I talk normal sense, Dutch, and then I speak in tongues again. So it's more of the time when I speak up to Daddy, it's always in unknown language.
Tongues is a very, very important key to developing our spirit and having our spirit communicate with God, because not only does it enable us to speak to Him, but He can communicate to us spirit to spirit. I tend to use tongues all the time, and some of the preparation exercises of practicing to train our spirit, speaking in tongues, and using when we're speaking in tongues to focus so that we can engage is a real key part of that practice. And it says in Corinthians that it builds our spirit. So it edifies our spirit and causes our spirit to get strength to grow and to tune in and connect more easily, because a flow of life flows through the spirit. And you know, the speaking in tongues is about that flow. And so those who have never really developed it, I think really they're not really understanding. And I think a lot of churches obviously have people who maybe bring a tongue in a meeting, then it gets an interpretation. But that's a totally different gift. That's the same sort of gift that you would get as in someone having a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a gift of healing, which the Holy Spirit gives. But because the Holy Spirit's in us, tongues as a personal language to communicate with God is absolutely vital. And it's something that as we do it, it causes us to really begin to flow in the Spirit. And so I practiced that a lot and I developed being able to pray in tongues out loud, but also you can pray in tongues within your own mind, so the words forming your mind, but you don't actually speak them out. But also you can also get your spirit to be praying in tongues, so it's coming from your innermost being as a flow without it being in your mind or coming out of your mouth. And that's really, really good, because you can do three things at once. And so a lot of it is practicing to be able to do two things at once, at least, so we can engage in the realm of heaven and engage in this realm, because our spirit is active there, so that our spirit can be active here. And practicing using tongues to develop that is a real important thing. So I often, you know, if I'm teaching people that or preparing people for spiritual encounters with God, praying in tongues is something that I really, really encourage. And so we would do an exercise like pray in tongues out loud for a couple of minutes. Whilst you're praying in tongues out loud, just begin to think about Jesus, fix your eyes on Him, thinking about Him. And then you can pray in tongues inside your mind while reading a passage of scripture out loud, or you can pray in tongues out loud by reading a passage of scripture in your mind, and learn to do interact with all those types of things. So when we're reading this, the Word of God, we can be praying in tongues at the same time, and therefore our spirit is engaging with what we're reading and drawing life from it, but also communicating about that to us. So when we begin to meditate on a scripture and we're praying in tongues, that flow of meditative thoughts that come is coming out of that spiritual place with God. And as we're praying in tongues, it's like our spirit is communicating with God, and it can be asking and connecting, because it says in Corinthians again, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2, where it talks about, you know, it's only the spirit of a man that knows the deep things of a man, and it's only the spirit of God that knows the deep things of God. And so when you bring those together, we're looking to connect up with God at a depth within our spirit that only praying in tongues can connect us to, because it's opening up an understanding of praying to God from the very depth of our spirit, and it's also drawing some things from God from that spiritual realm because we're connecting. And so I always encourage praying in tongues, you know, when meditating in a visual sense, looking to engage Jesus in our own heart. Again, tongues is a really good way to start developing that. So as we're praying in tongues, we can begin to open the eyes of our heart and to begin to think about and meditate on a scripture or a picture of a scripture, or even, you know, using a scripture like, you know, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, that engagement with opening up in our spirit for the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus to come in, you know, to engage the rest of our life rather than just be part of the kingdom in us, that kingdom needs to grow and expand through our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us. All that flows from tongues. And so absolutely vital, I would say, one of the keys in building and learning to communicate with God and open the eyes of our heart and open the eyes of our spirit is to be praying in tongues, singing in tongues, just using our tongues to activate our spirit all the time. So yeah, very, very key part of developing our spiritual senses and pressing through the barriers, because sometimes there's blockages and you have to press through those blockages, and praying in tongues is again good to do that. You know, I have probably 5 or 6 different tongues languages that I have. Some of them are intimate, more love languages. When I'm worshiping and singing in the spirit, I would have a different sort of language. When I'm sort of warfaring and really praying for breakthroughs, that's a different sort of language. And, you know, I think I've detected sort of 5 or 6 different sort of, whether it's sort of dialects of it, or it's, sometimes it sounds really different. But just because my spirit is engaging in a tongue that maybe is accessing something different. You know, I think, you know, it says that tongues can be the languages of angels and the languages of men. So some people use tongues when they don't know what someone else is saying in another language, and pray in tongues and speak in tongues, and it seems to give a connection with that person, so that there seems to be a communication. So there's lots of different dynamics to tongues, but getting that bubbling up from our spirit, so our spirit is active all the time, I think is a key, because that's why we can be praying without ceasing. You know, in Thessalonians, where it talks about praying without ceasing, that is our spirit praying without ceasing. So tongues, even if we're not conscious in our mind of that, our spirit can still be speaking and communicating with God, and therefore we can then receive revelation of what is being communicated into our conscious mind, so that we're aware of that either as a picture or a thought that comes from God. And I think the more we practice that, the stronger our connection to God in the realm of heaven will be, because our spirit will be constantly in communication with him. So that, so yeah, that's a really positive thing, tongues.
Yeah, the time when I'm not speaking is probably when I'm asleep.
Yeah.
But I do it so much, and I sing a lot, and indeed, different languages.
Yeah.
Only it seems to me it's one-way direction.
You're right.
I speak up, but sometimes you, a lot of times you don't know where you are singing for, interceding for, worrying for. So just standing in faith and keeping in faith and just go on.
Well, I think you can focus tongues from the desires of your heart. And so, you know, where there's a desire of our heart, or we're praying for a particular situation or a particular person, then we can focus those tongues, because our spirit is praying without the limitation of our mind. So our spirit will be able to connect to a situation that our mind can't. And so what we're praying and what we're speaking comes at a deeper level of communication than just our mind. So in some senses it doesn't really matter too much if we're not aware of what exactly it is, but you can also be praying in tongues in your own individual natural language. Because if it's your spirit praying rather than your mind praying, even if it's in Dutch or English, then that can still be a tongue, a language of the spirit. It's just a language which you can actually understand. So quite often when I might start praying about something and I start praying in tongues, then I begin just to pray in English. Actually, it's not my conscious mind that's directing what I want to pray. It's flowing straight out of my spirit like a river. And so that is as much tongues as if it was in a heavenly language or another earthly language that I don't understand. It's just I can understand it because it's in the words that I'm familiar with. But if it's not coming from my mind, then it's flowing out of my spirit. And so that's also a lot of times when we can pray in tongues, but actually we're hearing that in our own language, so we're understanding what we're actually praying. And that's perfectly fine as well. I do feel that when we direct tongues, we need to engage other senses with it. Because when I used to pray in tongues for an hour each morning and different things, I wasn't trying to think about something at the same time. I thought, oh, I'm just going to pray in tongues. But actually, if I begin to meditate, if I begin to picture things, if I begin to open the eyes of my heart, then that whole flow can be two-way. So I'm expecting my spirit to be connecting. My mind starts to engage something specific, whether it's a scripture or a picture or even a realm in heaven or whatever it might be, then I can actually expect flow to come the other way. Now, it's actually tuning into the flow, which is important, and that means engaging our senses so that it could be an impression, it could be a feeling, it could be a word or words or thoughts in my mind which are coming direct from God. And you learn to tune in, and I journal those things. So I often, I'm praying in tongues, I'm thinking about, let's say I'm thinking about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm lying down with him in green pastures, and we're just fellowshipping. And then I think about asking him something, like simple, you can, to start with, ask simple things like, you know, how do you feel about me, God? And then begin to just receive what comes back as a flow of thoughts. Now, often we try and analyze things too. Oh, is that just go with the flow and write down the things that God says, and then later on you can go back to it, and then you can look at it and see, okay, that's what God was saying to me. sometimes we block the flow because we try and analyze it, or we try to understand it at the time. The best thing to do is just let a flow come, write it down, and journal what you're writing as a flow of the thoughts of God. And then later you can both look at that yourself, or you can take it to somebody else that you trust, and you can begin to get an interpretation of what maybe God said, or maybe very direct. You know, if you ask him, how does he feel about you? And you get a flow of thoughts that come back that says how you're very precious to him, that you're special, that he's created you specially for a relationship of intimacy with him, then that will be a flow of the thoughts that come back as God speaking to you. And you can engage that then in anything, and in anything you're seeking or asking for, you know, you develop learning how to hear what God says, you know, and then you can then learn to see also what he's doing as you learn to activate the eyes of your heart, your imagination. So you activate your imagination whilst praying in tongues, to picture, and it is easier to start with a scripture, so the same thing applies. Let's say I'm thinking about Psalm 23, then I activate the eyes of my heart, and then I actually think, I close my eyes, and when you close your eyes, your brainwave patterns turn from, I think it's beta to alpha waves, and alpha waves are where the spirit communicates. They're slower, and you can relax. When your eyes are open, your left side of your brain, which are more associated with beta waves, are faster active waves, and they are problem-solving waves. They analyze. So you're trying to work something out in your mind. But when you close your eyes, your brain waves slow down, and they're easier to connect up, and literally, physically, to the right side of your brain, which is where tongues are and where more creative, imaginative things function. They function better when blood is pumping to that side of the brain, and that happens when we relax. When we're really actively trying to work stuff out, our brain is receiving blood pumping to the left side more. So even in a physiological sense, relaxing, closing our eyes, our brain waves slow down, and it's easier to tune in to a flow. And so we can activate our imagination. So I can close my eyes and I can just think of that green pasture. I can think of the quiet waters of the river of life flowing. And then I can think I'm lying down there, that God is my shepherd. He's with me. Now I'm just going to talk to him. And so I begin to picture, and then I'm activating my imagination, but it's all flowing as I'm just focusing my spirit on God, and tongues just helps in that connection and in that flow. Actually using tongues whilst I'm doing something else, like if I'm ministering to somebody, I will be praying in tongues inside my mind to connect up to the thoughts of God for that ministry, so that that ministry can flow. And so words of knowledge or the Spirit giving revelation of something can flow from that place where my spirit is engaged, and it just begins to flow. And so that's the key in all of it, is getting and activating that flow that comes as either thoughts or pictures or impressions, feelings, that then I interpret. My mind will interpret those, and as I get better at it, it will become more clear and sharper. You know, and if I work on the gateways of my life to activate those gateways of imagination and conscience and reason, then they become clearer and the thoughts become clearer. So a lot of it is practicing. You know, Hebrews 5:14, we train our senses through practice to discern. You know, and that word discern means to judge or to see, and it's like the prophetic sense of seeing. You know, in the Old Testament, there were two forms of prophet. There were seers, and there were the Nabi prophets who just prophesied words. As they spoke, they came out. And so, but the seers, they were more pictorial, or they sensed things, in a sense, so that they were seeing. Now, as the Old Testament progressed, and we get to the New Testament, the words basically became, in terms of prophet, were one word. So when we have prophet used in the New Testament in terms of either having prophetic gifts, as in 1 Corinthians 12, or you know, in Ephesians 4, it talks about the office of prophet. You know, that can contain both seeing types of prophet and those who prophesy words. And so they get a flow of words, and probably some, most can do both. But often there's one focus more than the other, and we just need to tune into the way in which we communicate more clearly, and then look to develop that and look to grow in it. And yeah, tongues is a really, really important thing. I stress it a lot when I'm sort of teaching people at a basic level to build up that prayer language, to use it in everything they do, because it helps activation in the spirit, you know, and within the eyes of our heart, in our heart imagination and conscience, in every area. So yeah, definitely.
So connected in other things. Just praying in tongues, so I needed to connect it in engaging in, like you talked 14 days ago about the river of life, jump in it, joy in it, well, you jump in it, pray in tongues, and connect those things.
Yeah. You're just, you know, and sometimes when you really get active in it, your spirit is engaging, and you probably just the flow is engaging in the spiritual activity, and then you don't need to be thinking about praying in tongues. Either it's going on and our spirit is connecting anyway, and then you begin to focus then on listening to what the flow is coming back. You know, often it's like when you're first starting, it can be quite challenging to work one way. Some people find it easier to pray in tongues out loud and then to think about what they're doing. Other people find it easier to think about what they're doing in terms of speaking out loud and praying in tongues on the inside. And I think it's just practicing both and finding out which is easier for each person, and then look to develop that. But I think ultimately it's looking that our spirit would be praying, talking, communicating with God all the time, while we're asleep, because our soul can be asleep and our body asleep and our spirit awake. So when I go to sleep each night, I go to usually the garden of my heart, or sometimes I go into the garden in heaven, and I just set my spirit there, and I then go to sleep, and often I wake up having things like dreams, or some, mostly for me it's coming waking up with things immediately in my mind that have come out of that time where my spirit has been with God all night, you know. And we just have to train it, our senses, to do it, and I, that's what I do. I go to a place with God before I go to sleep, and just my spirit stays there. Now, I know Ian Clayton talks about, you know, the night watch, where also you can keep your soul awake as well, so you can be conscious while your body is asleep. I've only managed to do that a couple of times. I haven't been able to sort of do that. But my spirit, I know, is engaged while I'm asleep, and therefore I'm expecting whatever revelation it receives to be imparted to me some way while then I'm awake.
Let's go for it. I want more, so yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, good. So so you just want to maybe do an exercise where we just engage in something in the realms of heaven?
Oh yeah, we can do.
Okay, well let's do that. So again, yeah, I would just encourage you to just begin to pray in tongues gently to yourself, and just begin to fix your eyes on Jesus. That's always a good place to start. Just begin to think about him. Just begin to think about his presence. And I just encourage you just to think of Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And just Jesus is knocking at the door which is in your spirit, which is the door to the realm of the kingdom of God within you. And then begin to think about or picture just reaching out and open that door and just allow his presence to come around you and envelop you. Just sense him, feel that warmth, that engagement within your innermost being as God just comes to engage with you at a deeper level. Feel his love, feel him affirming you with words of affirmation, thoughts of affirmation that come around you. Just allow your heart to be warmed and engaged with his presence and his glory surround you. Now, Jesus would just take you by the hand, and he is going to lead you back through that door so that you can engage through the realms and the dimensions into the realm of heaven. And he wants you to step with him through into heaven. And he's just going to take you there to the river of life that's flowing. You can be in that river, breathing the atmosphere of heaven. Just breathe deeply the atmosphere of heaven. Feel what it is to breathe in life. That means you can be in the water. You can be under the water. You can breathe, the water can flow through you because it's living water. It's a flow of the life of God from his spirit flowing. Just sense what it feels like to have the life of God flowing as a river of living water around you in the realm of heaven. There sometimes are things that are in the water on the bottom that you can just look and sense what's around you in the water. But just let that water engage you. Feel it flowing through you because it's going to flow and touch every fiber of your being, every atom, and invigorate it with life, the life of the Spirit. Now just begin to look around you, sense what's around you. In the distance, there are mountains and there are waterfalls that are flowing. There's a waterfall off to the right as the river flows up. I just want you to think about that waterfall. As it's flowing down. In the realm of heaven. Now we're just going to go towards that waterfall. And you're going to stand under the flow that's coming down out of heaven. Just sense that waterfall flowing down. Cascading down out of heaven. Deep calling to deep. All the frequencies of sound of God just washing over you, washing through you. Just feel it coming down. deep calls to deep at the sound of the waterfalls, the life of God flowing down. Now we're just going to go up that waterfall. Just allow your spirit to flow up the waterfall. There's no resistance. There's no physics. You can just flow up. And as you sense yourself going up the waterfall, at the top of the waterfall, along the side of the river, there's a bank and there's a pathway. And you can step on that pathway and just sense the life around you, the living nature of the flowers and the trees, the living colors as you walk along the pathway. Just sense the emotions and the feelings, fragrances of heaven, everything living, everything active. Now just walk along that path. Jesus is ahead of you, waiting for you. And up ahead there's a bridge over the river, and standing on that bridge is Jesus, waiting for you. And as you walk towards him, you sense the warmth, pleasure he has waiting for you to engage with him. And as you look into his eyes, he asks you to cast all your burdens on him. So anything in your life right now that is a weight or a burden or an expectation or a responsibility, just cast them onto him, because he cares for you. And he lifts the heavy load. Just feel how light it is to be carrying nothing. Now you can just walk across the bridge into the garden of God, the Father's garden, where he is waiting for you. Again, it's full of life and fruit. Just sense his pleasure as you come with him, as you can step into that garden. Just spend some time there with the Father. This is where you can just be. Everything at rest, everything at peace. Just sense the Father's thoughts towards you as he speaks with you. Share with him your heart. Now he just leads you over to an area in his garden where, again, there's water cascading down, and there's a deep blue pool. It's a pool of revelation. And you can dive into that pool and swim down beneath the water. And on the bottom, there's a chest. And in the chest, there's golden coins. And each coin represents one of the vast sum of the thoughts that he has for you. So just take a coin. It's a golden coin. Take a thought and allow that thought to be communicated by the Father. A special thought about how he feels about you. Receive that thought. Take that coin. Place it within your heart and feel the words, the emotions, the impressions of that, those words that he speaks to you. Receive them. Let them be foundational to who you are. They are some of the thoughts he has about you from before the foundation of the world. Special thoughts. Now we can just come out of that water, carrying with you those thoughts. And as you look up, you can see the water going upwards into the light. And again, just allow your spirit to take you up the flow of the water, up through the waterfall. And as you stand in the river, look ahead and just see the tree of life before you. And we're just going to go towards that tree. It has fruit. You may see scrolls or leaves scrolled up floating on the water. If you feel you want to take one of those, feel free to take one. But just look at the tree, sense the tree. There's fruit that you'll be drawn to. Just go and take that fruit, eat it. And as you eat it, just let all your senses engage the revelation of that fruit, what that fruit is, how it touches you at a deep level. Just receive from the tree of life the energy, the activity, the truth that that fruit has for you today. Now Jesus just meets you there, takes you by the hand, and you walk right through the tree following the river. And as the river continues, you see ahead the throne of grace, where Jesus just leads you to the Father. Where he reaches down and lifts you up onto his lap, where you feel the pleasure of his love for you, of the joy that he feels of you coming to him as you come to the throne of grace. Bring those words that he spoke to you. And here at the throne of grace, there is grace and there is mercy for any needs that you have. So any needs that you have, just make them known to Him. Just share those needs with Him. And just receive all that you need to answer each situation that you bring before Him. Just sense the freedom in the atmosphere of the freedom of heaven. As the Father just releases you to go to Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to stand before Him, embrace the colors and the fragrances and the feelings of freedom within the realm of heaven. So you breathe in that freedom. It releases you to see things from a new perspective, to engage with the very fabric of heaven. Just sense the pleasure of the Lion in His kingly function to bestow upon you joy and peace and love. Just feel them flowing through you. Feel the colors of joy. Feel the colors of peace. Feel the colors of love. Feel the fragrances, the smell, the feelings and the emotions. Joy and peace and love. Now just lie down at His side in absolute rest, totally secure, totally at peace, no worries, no concerns, at rest with the King. Now He just releases you now to step back through the realms of heaven, through the veils, back into this realm, bringing with you the thoughts of God, bringing with you the fruit of the revelation of the peace and life that you've received in the flow out of heaven to manifest that around your life. Okay. How did you feel with that?
Wow. Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
So did you feel that you connected with that, that you had a visual encounter or a sensory encounter? How did it go with you?
I could imagine, but I think it was what was being brought. Everything you said came alive.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Diving in the river, standing in the waterfall. I was swimming like a dolphin in the river.
Awesome. Very good.
So this is amazing.
Okay, good. So basically all I do there is just open up a door for people to go through.
Yeah. And
now that's become your experience, then you can step back into that. What I'd encourage you to do, if you felt things or you sensed things or you heard things, to write them down, to journal them.
Yeah.
And then you use that to anchor those experiences, because what you write becomes an anchor, and then you can revisit those experiences by looking at what you've written, and then you step back in. So that becomes a doorway into future experiences and future encounters. And so then, you know, you can go back through that door, and then the more often you do it, the more it becomes a pathway that you can activate through merely thinking. You know, now I can just go through those doors, go through into the realm of heaven and go to the throne of grace or go to the tree of life or the garden of God by actually just activating the pathway of thought to engage it. But to start with, I went back over it and I walked through it and I went back, and that developed the pathway.
Yeah.
But now makes it just an open access to go into those places and those realms. And the more we practice, the more our senses become attuned and that pathway becomes easier and clearer for us as we do it over and over. So,
wow. Okay. Investigating a new world.
It is, yeah.
Yes.
It's an adventure, it's a journey, and there's always new things to discover and new things to find. You know, that pool in the Garden of God with the thoughts of God, it's a precious place.
Yeah.
And we can go back, and sometimes the things that he says to us, we can take as a scroll or a mandate that gives us authority. Depending on what he said, that can become a place of authority. His thoughts, we use that then when we go into the realm of the kingdom in terms of responsibility, we can use some of the things that he's given us there, and we exercise that authority as a mandate or a scroll, and then we can release angels around that and different things. The pathway of relationship really is what gives us our identity and who we are as children of God, and the intimacy that we can get from relationship and through the tree of life and things like that. But then ultimately we develop responsibility as sons, and then we can outwork who we are as sons in authority in the realm of the kingdom, and then we can begin to rule and mountains and different things. But it all starts out of relationship. So I'd encourage you just to build that pathway for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a new door, so it's fun to practice that. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay.